Turn to Proverbs 6:11. This is the last verse in this series of verses dedicated to the sluggard. It says, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." And the context of this, of course, is verses 9 and 10. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." And then our verse, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So let's look at that first clause there. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth." So sleeping excessively leads to poverty. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Proverbs 20:13 says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." And we'll get back to that verse here in just a second. But, you know, we should, like I said, I think it was last week, sleep to live, not live to sleep. We shouldn't love sleep, but sleep's like anything else, like good food or like a good drink or like time, good quality time with friends. These are all blessings from God that we can and should enjoy, but we can't love them too much. Anything done in excess and without moderation can end up being our downfall, and sleep is no different. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. It says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Oh, that's the part of the verse I missed. I confused myself last time because I was looking at the drunkard and the glutton coming to poverty. The part that I wanted in the verse was "drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." I wonder, because I looked at it, I'm like, what am I trying to get out of this verse? That's what I was trying to say, anyway. So it says, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth." Poverty is the condition of having little or no wealth or material possessions, indigence, I'm not sure where the emphasis is there, indigence. Is that like the indigent people? People talk about the indigent peoples? I wondered about that. I should have looked it up. Destitution, want, in various degrees. So want is, I think I'll define that a little bit later here, but want is lack or need. It's not desire like we generally use it today. So poverty is whenever, everybody knows this, when you have very little or no wealth and you're in destitution, you're in great want. Sleeping too much causes poverty because the sluggard is sleeping instead of working. Obviously, that's where the poverty is coming in. If he would get up and work, he would be filled with food and necessary possessions. And that takes us back to Proverbs 20:13, which we just read here a minute ago. "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." So if you open your eyes, and obviously the implication is here, open your eyes and go to work, right? Not just wake up and all of a sudden bread's going to appear, right? You get up, go to work, you make money, then you know, buy the bread and so on. So if you stop sleeping and start working, then you'll have food and necessary things. So the poverty of the sluggard will come, as this verse tells us, as one that traveleth. To travel, and I put the first definition in there, and I guess I will read it just for the sake of it, but I always like to do that. If I'm using a secondary definition, I like to put the first one in there just so you know that I'm not cherry-picking and just picking the definition that I feel like. Apparently, travel must have originally basically just been a different spelling of travail, because as we'll see here, it means primarily to torment, distress, to suffer affliction, to labor, toil, to suffer the pains of parturition. And then it says, see travail. That is not how the word is being used here at all. It's being used in the number two sense, which means to make a journey, to go from one place to another, to journey. And it can be used figuratively as well, it says. So this poverty of the sluggard is going to come like one that traveleth, like one that's making a journey, or he's coming from one place to another. And if you think about it, travelers, especially in biblical times, would show up unexpectedly. Imagine in biblical times, you're not calling on your cell phone when you're 15 minutes out, right? You're not even calling the day before you leave. I mean, there would be, you could send a letter, maybe, I suppose, but you'd have to send a letter weeks in advance before you ever got there, and then you still wouldn't really know exactly when the guy is going to show up, because who knows how, you know, how the traveling would go. So in those days, when a traveler showed up, you were not expecting him. And I got a couple of verses here which will prove that for you. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 4. 2 Samuel 12, verse 4. It would have been interesting to live in the old days where you might just be at home, just sitting there, enjoying a meal. Somebody knocks on the door, and here's Cousin Joe from Indiana, and he's been traveling 3 weeks to get here, and you didn't even know it. And just give him a bedroom, and he'd stay for a week or so and be on his way.
Well, you didn't head out to see someone else when he was on the way.
Right.
You didn't go see Cousin Sally.
Right, right, exactly.
They're coming with six kids.
Yeah, right. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 4. This is a hypothetical account here. When Nathan told David about the rich man that came into town, was it there was a traveler came under a rich man, and the rich man didn't have anything to give him, and so this didn't actually happen, but it obviously he told the story because it was something that could have happened. It was totally believable. It says, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come. So the story here was the poor man had this little lamb that he loved so much, and he slept with it in his bed and everything. It was like his little pet. Well, people sleep with their dogs, right? And so he just loved this lamb, like people would love their dog. And the wayfaring traveler comes to the rich man, and the rich man doesn't take his own lamb. He goes and take the poor guy's lamb and slays it and feeds him with it. And David was incensed. He was angry. He said, the man that did this shall die. And then Nathanael said, thou art the man. You took another man's lamb, in other words. You could have had anything you wanted, and you took some other guy's wife. But the point is here, the traveler just showed up, and he wants fed. You weren't even expecting him. It's like Jesus talked about with the friend that was banging on the guy's door because a friend of his came over at midnight and he didn't have any food to give him, and he wanted him to give him a loaf of bread. And, you know, I guess in those days you were pretty much expected to feed somebody if they showed up, even at midnight. And then Job 31 and verse 32 will give you one more example here. Job 31, 32. Says, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. So obviously, you know, just a guy that's just coming through, and you'll read about that. And there was that one guy that went to get his concubine and came to a certain city, and he, instead of sleeping out on the street, the guy said, hey, come in and stay with me. I think that was pretty common in those days. You just go into a place and knock on somebody's door and ask if you can stay the night, because there probably weren't hotels unless you went to a bigger city. So anyway, the point is, it says there that the poverty will come as one that traveleth. So in other words, it's going to come at a time when you don't expect it. And likewise, poverty will not come to the sluggard immediately, but it will show up when he's not expecting it. And that usually happens with things. Usually you can get away with things. If you do foolish or sinful or just criminal things, a lot of times it doesn't happen right away. I mean, punishment doesn't come immediately. Sometimes, you know, you've seen those videos where you got the, I forget what they're called, but instant karma. Yeah, where the guy, you know, runs by, grabs the old lady's purse, and then gets hit by a bus, like as soon as he steps into the street or something. But generally speaking, you know, that doesn't always happen. But if the sluggard fails to plant in the cold weather of spring, then, you know, he may have enough food to get him through the summer, possibly, and go out and maybe pick some apples in the neighbor's vineyard or something. But by the time the harvest comes around, the next harvest, if he hasn't planted, he's not gonna be able to make it through. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. We've been over this verse a time or two in the last couple of weeks. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. So you don't know exactly when the poverty is coming, but it's like the guy that traveleth. He's going to show up eventually, and then the chickens are going to come home to roost. And if we don't work and save money while we can, then poverty will eventually catch up with us years later when we're too old to do anything about it. See, it's sin in general. It often takes years for sin to catch up with us, but it always will, one way or the other. And just remember this, in any sin that you think maybe you've gotten away with, it will eventually catch up with you. We're going to have to answer for it, either in this life or at the judgment seat. 1 Timothy 5, 24 through 25. And it's scary for us, but it's also comforting knowing that this is what happens to the wicked too, that they get away with murder, literally, sometimes. But there is judgment coming. Either it'll happen now or it'll happen later, but they're not going to get away with it. 1 Timothy 5, 24 through 25. Says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So it's the same way with good and bad works. Sometimes bad works are punished right away, beforehand. Sometimes they follow after. You wait till you get to the judgment seat. Sometimes good works are rewarded soon afterwards. You do something good and you get blessed for it. You get a reward. But sometimes nobody knows, nobody notices, and you might foolishly think, well, that was a waste of time. I didn't even get rewarded for that. But you get rewarded at the judgment. And Jesus talked about that. At the second coming, everybody will receive for his deeds, whether he's done good or evil. And then look at Galatians 6 and verse 4. That's why it's great to be a Christian, because as Christians we know that we're going to be, if we do something in secret, we're going to be punished for it, so we don't want to do those things in secret. But we also know that if we do something and we don't get anything back for it now, that there will, God saw it, and that we will eventually get rewarded for the good that we have done. Whereas, you know, if you were an atheist or something, you'd think, well, what's the point? Why would I do anything good if it's not right out in the open where everybody can see it and I can be rewarded for it? Because it doesn't matter, ultimately. But it does matter for us.
Or you just want to do the good thing because that's what's comfortable with you. You're not worried about what you're going to get for it.
Right. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just, you know, it's kind of a reward in itself, I guess.
It is.
But typically people just get to where they do that and they go on down the road and they don't even keep thinking about it.
Yes.
Maybe the other guy does, but you don't keep thinking, well, you know, I haven't really had any accolades for that. You know?
Right, right. As they say, virtue is its own reward. Yep. Galatians 6, 7. Now, this has a dual application here. It has a natural primary application, which we never use this verse for, but it actually does work. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So literally, if you don't sow and you don't plant in the spring, you are going to reap nothing, right? If you don't do any work, you are not going to reap. Now, obviously, we use this in a figurative context, always, that you will sow what you reap. If you sow sin, you are going to reap punishment. You're gonna reap judgment eventually. So it says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So the sluggard will be left in poverty, is what this verse is telling us, because want means, and I'm going to jump down to number two here, because the first one went out of usage in 1400. It means deficiency, shortage, lack of something desirable or necessary. It's the state of lacking the necessaries of life, penury, which is another word for poverty, destitution, also the condition of lacking food, famine, starvation. It means to come to want, to be reduced to penury. If I remember, let's see if I remember right, in Luke chapter 15, Yeah. Luke 15 and verse 14 says, this is the prodigal son when he got his living and then went and spent it with riotous living. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, in poverty and destitution, so much so that he was willing to eat the husk that he did feed the swine. Now that's what I call poor. Penury, as I mentioned, is a condition of being destitute or straitened. That's with an A-I-T, not G-H-T. Straitened in the necessaries of life, destitution, indigence, want, poverty. And destitution is down in number 3, is the condition of being abandoned or left helpless, of being deprived or bereft of anything, the condition of wanting or being lacking. It is the condition of being destitute of resources, want of the necessaries of life. So thy want, thy poverty, in other words, will come as an armed man. So it comes as one that traveleth, and so that means you don't know when it's going to show up, but it's going to show up as the traveler shows up. He is going to show up eventually. But it also comes as an armed man. Armed is furnished with arms or armor, fully equipped for war. So armed men are men of war who come to conquer and destroy. Right? They don't come with arms just to show off their cool new gun. Right? They show up to destroy. So want, in other words, poverty or destitution, will come to the sluggard like an invading soldier who will not spare. And like an armed soldier, poverty will destroy the sluggard. Proverbs 10 and verse 15. Proverbs 10 and verse 15. It says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So poverty destroys. And yeah, I mean, you take everything somebody owns where you don't have anything, you don't have any clothes on your back or roof over your head, well, yeah, you're pretty well destroyed. That's like an armed man. That'll definitely take you out. And it says in Proverbs 19:15 that the idle soul is going to suffer hunger, just like a people in a conquered country would. That's what happens when people are conquered. They end up suffering hunger, and that's what happens to the sluggard. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So take heed and abstain from laziness, because poverty will come upon the sluggard unexpectedly and mercilessly, just like a traveler and an armed man. So that takes care of the exhortation to the sluggard.